Welcome to Get a Move On, the podcast for movement lovers who are fed up with their injuries and want to enhance their all-round health. On this podcast, I'll help you change how you think about pain and illness so you can drop the frustration and move freely. I'm Amy, an osteopath turned yoga teacher and mindset coach. On this pod, I'll be talking about the joys of pain, injury and illness, the mind-body connection, and how they relate to our movement practice so you can get a move on. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get a Move On with me, Amy Slevin. Today, I'm talking to one of London's most renowned gong musicians and sound therapists, Charlie Merton. She's also a yoga teacher, and she can rock a pretty decent handstand, which is another reason why I really like her. Not that it has to be a prerequisite that you can do a handstand in order for me to like you. But anyway, Charlie's really cool. She does amazing gong baths. I've been to several of them, and I really enjoy them. Hi, Charlie. How are you?
I wouldn't say I rock a good handstand anymore.
No, I've seen you. You're very good at handstands. So, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Cool.
I'm in recovery mode. I do a lot of open water swimming, so I've just had a swim in the lake, and it's 4.5 degrees in there at the moment. So, So I'm feeling rejuvenated.
Wow. God, you're brave. I kind of want to ask you about that. But first, I want to ask, what is a gong bath? For anyone who doesn't know what a gong bath is, can you explain what do they do? What happens in a gong bath?
So most simply, a gong bath is an immersion of sound. So thinking back to the days where we would go raving in clubs and stand next to a speaker and you can feel that strong vibration in your body, it's basically like that, but more holistic. So you're laying down. Well, you don't have to be laying down. You could be seated. It could be a meditation if you wish. Most people choose to lie down, so it becomes a bit of a mass sleepover if you've got lots of people in the room covered in blankets and become immersed in different sounds, different frequencies. So the gong can take you on a journey into the different brain waves. You know, where we are in our daily life, that sometimes can slow the brain waves down. So it can be a meditation, but it also can facilitate deep levels of healing. So because the setting and the person hosting a gong bath should create a safe holding space, so that in that space, lots of stuff can arise. So it won't necessarily be a relaxing experience for everyone. Everyone in the room will have a different experience, and some of the sounds will provoke different things. And therefore, it can tap into different levels of the psyche. So it can be, I'd say it's more of a journey than anything else. A sound immersion journey.
Nice. Why is it called a bath?
Because you're bathed in sound. One of the most common questions I get asked is, am I going to be naked? No, you're not, unless you choose to do an online gong bath, which I have done. And I've lain in the bath whilst doing an online gong bath. It's quite amazing, actually. That's the benefit of doing online. But obviously, you don't get that same resonance in your body. So, you know, it's a trade-off either way. So, no, you're not naked. You're not in water. But it would be quite interesting to explore that. And it's just that whole sense of, like, when you're in the bath, you're immersed in water, so you're immersed in sound.
So you said it was kind of healing, and people refer to it as like sound therapy and it's therapeutic. What kind of things can it heal? Does it heal? What are the benefits that people might get from having do they do a gong bath or do they have a gong bath?
Experience a gong bath.
A gong bath.
I think what it does very much depends. I don't think there's any limits. I've gonged a lot of people in my time, and lots of people report different things. Some people will say that if they had an injury in their body, they might feel that more intensely in the gong. And then suddenly afterwards, it feels really good and it feels much better. So just like when the body is going through healing processes, often things we perceive to get worse before they get better, or they feel a little bit more intense because things are shifting and changing. It's kind of like that. It's an invitation to dive in a little bit more deeply into wherever we've got disease or dissonance in the body, it will highlight that and enhance that. But really what that is demonstrating is where we're fragmented, where we're disintegrated, and it's to bring back a state of integration. So it's bringing attention and awareness to those places that we need to draw attention to, that most people push away and bury because it's a little bit too painful. So, you know, different people experience different states within a gong bath, depending on, first of all, how much deep work they've done, how willing they are to dive into themselves. And it can take time, you know, often the first couple of times. I remember probably my first year or two of going to gong baths, I would not remember a thing from 5 minutes of laying down. I was conked out in a totally different place. Coming back, I'm like, oh, is it over already? It was like my psyche couldn't handle what was going on inside of me. And yet I could feel that stuff was moving and changing. And then over the years, now if I go to a gong bath facilitated by someone else, I'm totally aware through the whole thing. I don't go into a deeper state because I'm more in an awareness place rather than a deep healing place, because I've already done a lot of that work.
Interesting, because I wonder if some of that might have something to do with, like, say for example, a yoga teacher goes to someone else's yoga class. Like, it can be difficult to kind of get into it because we kind of go there with our own preconceptions and our own expectations and potential prejudgments of the teacher, and we kind of have an idea of how things should and should not be. And I wonder if any of that might be playing into your kind of new experience of gong baths, because I know, let me just like toot your trumpet for a second.
You know, I actually trained as a trumpet player, so that's actually really funny. I did my bachelor's degree in trumpet performance, so there you go.
Oh, that's so cool. Do you still play?
I do. I use it in music therapy.
Oh my gosh. So now I know that some gong musicians have just one gong, but you have five of them.
Most of the time, not always.
Interesting, because I think I've only ever been to the ones where you've had all five, and because you have all five, they have different frequencies, mm-hmm. and there's like harmonies between them and all sorts, and like hearing your own sound of five gongs, and then if you're going to someone else who might just have one, because I think you're quite exceptional that you have five, so then you're just like, well, this is kind of rubbish because, you know, your one cannot compare to my five.
Well, having said that, I know many people who have multiple gongs, way more than me.
Oh.
And to give an example, I was assisting teaching on a gong training this year. We did a gong puja where we did that through the planets. So there were two on each stand. So there were 24 gongs.
Question, what is a gong puja?
It's like an all-night sleepover where you basically the gong is going from, well, we started at 10 and we ended at 8 a.m.
Oh my God, I want to do that. When is the next one?
I can give you information about it. There's a few around. You can find them. They're not that common because it's a lot to organise, but yeah, it's quite powerful.
And then like you have to stay up all night while someone like me sleeps.
It depends. On that, it was a gong training. So everyone who was on the training, if they wanted to play, got an opportunity to play. So because there were 30 people in the training, they gave everyone a half an hour slot.
Whoa.
There would be people in the room who would be allowed to sleep. And then if your time was coming up, there would be watches and you go and get tapped half an hour before. And then it's quite a different experience to go into a gong bath because the sound needs to be more level, because like going to an hour's gong bath, you can go on more of a journey. There will be peaks and troughs in the sound to aid that facilitation of the journey. Whereas the gong puja, the sound is more leveled, because when the gong gets too quiet, people wake up. Yet when the gong gets too loud, people wake up. It's a bit like white noise. You know, it's the same quality of white noise that can help to calm the mind and ease into.
Amazing. God, I really want to do that.
It's quite powerful. Going back to what you're saying about the multiple gongs, there's a lot of people who have many more gongs than me. There's a few people who play a single gong exceptionally well and can get so many sounds out of it. But I do tend to go to people who've got more gongs if I'm going to a gong bath myself.
Fair enough. I think that does make quite a bit of sense, hey? Give yourself that rich experience.
Exactly.
How does it heal?
Well, we all exist in a state of vibration. to take this back to Brian Cox, I love Brian Cox. I'm a massive fan of his documentaries. I think he's an astrophysicist, or he's a physicist at the very least, isn't he? Say at the very least, like I could be a physicist. But his most recent one on iPlayer, The Universe, has got a set of five in the series. And it kind of gives examples of the footage that they've received from the satellites and the different voyages that they've sent out into the universe. And I geek out on this, I think, find it fascinating. But what they found to be true, and I'm going to mess this up completely, there was a theory about everything existing in ripples and vibration. And they've now found that to be true from the footage that they've got from the universe. And this is what the ancient sages have been saying for thousands of years. And it's all like, I just love the coalescence of it all. And what they found from this footage of the very first light that was emitted from 70 billion years ago. I don't even know how they managed to work that out, but anyway, it blows my mind. That these ripples of light, it's existent in how we exist in our bodies, because light is a form of vibration, it's a form of sound. So therefore, how can vibration and sound not help to heal us and to change us and to shift us? So because everything in the body is resonance, taking it back to the gong, it's said to be that the gong is the master frequency, the master sound. Yogi Bhajan says the gong is the sound of the universe. And so by creating that resonant feel to bathe people in, you're helping people to tap back into the essence of who they were before they were told who to be, and all of those things that break us in our lives.
Gets you goosebumps a little bit.
That's why I love this. It's just, and then when you take it back to the science and like it coalesces so beautifully, it's like this has been talked about for eons and yet science is now proving it. So it's just wonderful that we've got that merger.
Gosh, that's amazing. Now, do you think that sound and gong baths can have a destructive quality as well as a healing quality?
Well, if you're taking it back down to what Adi Shanti says, he says enlightenment is a destructive process. So by its very nature, it has to be, because we live in these formulated lives of the way that we think things should be. And enlightenment is a process of losing, not gaining. You don't gain anything. You're losing the things that you shouldn't have in the first place, the things that get put onto us through projections through other people. So yeah, it has to be destructive.
I love that. Okay. So sort of like break down to rebuild in a sense.
Break down to breakthrough, maybe?
Break down to breakthrough.
Mm. It's going back to that integration, because where we're disintegrated and fragmented, it's because there's too much complexity, I believe. And we live in these modern lives with not following cycles of nature, for example, is one. We've got electric lights, which take us away when from circadian rhythms and how we're actually supposed to be living. And you know, when we look out to nature, it tells us so much how we're supposed to be, and we don't live by that. So yes, it's going to be destructive if you're so attached to life as it is in a modern realm. Not to say that that modern realm is wrong, it's just a way of how do we integrate both sides.
That's really interesting. So I'm also quite curious about this idea of disintegration and integration. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by disintegration? What is not integrated?
So I'm a music therapist as well. I did a master's in music psychotherapy, so therefore studied various different psychotherapeutic models, and I became very fascinated with Carl Jung. You know, he took it from his work with Freud, who had the models of the mind. And Carl Jung took this a step further, and obviously he was a yogi and he studied Sanskrit and was quite deeply immersed into the more esoteric practices. Basically, okay, stepping back a little bit, religion governs a lot of countries and a lot of the way lives have been led over, let's say, the past century and a half at the very least. And that religion has been driven by patriarchy, which favours light at any cost. It's like anything that is perceived to be dark is seen to be bad. And, you know, in the very nature of going back to the cycles, we need the darkness. Like, we need to go into dark because that's where things are born and where things are grown. Like, just take, for example, a baby. It's a dark space it's grown in the womb of whatever animal. Plants are grown in the earth, in the dark, before they come into the light. So the very process of creation is dark. And there's been so much favouring of the light at the expense of actually going into these processes of reintegration or creation that a lot's been forgotten about the natural processes. And I think one of the ways that spirituality and being in well-being industry can be toxic is there's something I like to call toxic positivity. It's just, you know, all love and light and all being, you know, all the time and just wanting a blissful experience all the time. And that's not realistic. And then when you attach to having those blissful experiences or go on collections of experiences rather than actually going down and in within yourself and allowing yourself to go to that maybe darker, more shadow space, that's when we become disintegrated because we're trying to live a life that we think we should be living rather than looking at what's actually there. And then that's what it is. It's integrating the shadow. And also Carl Jung, as well as having the what you might see as the negative shadow, the dark shadow, he also talks about the golden shadow, which I think is fascinating, and where it's our unintegrated light. So the parts of our power that we're afraid of. But before we can go into the power that we're afraid of, we also first have to look at the bits that we don't like. Because the theory with that is if you just look at the golden shadow first, you'll become a little bit God delusion and, you know... Aren't I amazing without looking at the bad stuff?
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like in the way that I kind of, and my training kind of thinks about that is like we each have a hero and a villain. Mm. And we need to be as comfortable with our villain as we are with our hero. In the same kind of thinking, it's like the things that we think that we're ashamed of, the parts of ourselves that we don't like, we need to make friends with those and see how they're serving a purpose as much as the things that we really like about ourselves and that we're more proud of. And so maybe I think what you're saying is like the kind of the integration that you can get in a gong bath is sort of bringing more consciousness and awareness to each of those and sort of merging them.
Exactly. That's the way I like to work. I know that's not how everybody works. And equally, some people can come to, and I had this a couple of weeks ago where someone came to a gong bath and she said she found some of the sounds quite frightening, which happens a lot, you know, by the way. I wasn't prepared for the kind of sounds that it was making. And I was like, okay, well, how do you feel now? Do you feel safe now? Yes. Did you feel safe all the time? Yes, but I found it frightening. So it's like teaching people that actually they can have these experiences, go into these different emotions, which is basically, you know, going back to what theatre was about. What was theatre for? It was to invoke these different colours, these primary emotions. In tantric theory, they call it the rasa, where you've got these primary emotions that you tap into and evoke through that journey, like living vicariously, so that we know that we can experience these emotions and have that colourful experience, which is the spectrum of life. And yet we can still be within ourselves and feel safe within ourselves, so that when these emotions present it actually in our life, maybe we can handle them in a different way or be more aware and more responsive rather than reactive. That's my interpretation of it.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting also. So it kind of also makes me think like there are so many situations in life where we might feel triggered by something, and maybe something in the gong bath for that particular person. And I think, you know, she's one of many probably, you know, there's probably an association in her mind that some sort of sound within the gong bath reminded her of whatever experience she's had or something in the past. And then the whole point maybe is that you are reminded of that thing, and that you do kind of feel that sense of fear or frightened or whatever it might be. And then you kind of open that box, and then you're then able to look at what's inside and unpack it and deal with all of that stuff rather than try and hide from it. And doing it in the context of a gong bath where you're sort of like cocooned in this room where you are safe, you know, you've only got your own thoughts really to scare the shit out of you.
That's precisely what it is. And that's what I hope people come to the conclusion about, and you can explain that, and I do, but equally it takes someone's it's challenging someone's perception of what they think they're doing and what they think they're there for. Some people go along because it's a gift, or they've come along with a friend and they're just like, I thought I was just going to have this really chilled out experience. And some people do, and it might be that. But equally, it's like everyone's experience will be different, and you can help someone to frame the experience and what it is. But if it wasn't what they wanted or what they thought was written on the tin, it's like they may come back at another point and then feel ready for it at that point. But at the end of the day, you know, you go into a shop and you want to buy a golden delicious apple, but they don't have the apple that you want. But someone's like, it's an apple, no, doesn't matter. But if it's not the apple you want, then depending on your attachment to that experience, potentially it matters.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really good point, because one of the things that I like about gong baths is that in my experience of them, they are deeply relaxing. And in my ignorance of them, which, thank you, this conversation is helping to dispel, yes, it can be relaxing, but it can also be incredibly uncomfortable. And we want to be okay with being uncomfortable because it's serving a purpose. It's not just about just having a nice chilled out time.
No, it's about getting better at feeling rather than always about feeling better. And I think the experience different people have, it depends on so many things. What's going on in their life at the time? How much they've integrated already? How willing you are to feel uncomfortable? Because if you spend your life living from the neck up and are constantly dissociating, and then the gong calls you into your body to feel those uncomfortable things, I think the more likely to be triggered you are.
Okay, that's really interesting. I think also, I just want to add another thing about being triggered. I think there's a whole thing in society, and this is my own little personal bugbear, so I'm just going to say this right now. I think there's such a thing about, oh my God, I was triggered. This thing triggered me. As if being triggered is bad. It's just there to remind you of something that you need to deal with.
In my view, it's encouraged to treat it as a gift. Having said that, a lot of people see it as something, yeah, they want to run away from. And like I said, what I think the gong baths are good for, or theatre, or whatever, you know, the arts are there to trigger you. That's, you know, that's the very purpose of them, to take you into an experience that is outside of your normative, so that you can see what else is there.
I know nothing about art, but I do know that a lot of art is designed to make us feel uncomfortable in order to make a change in something.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Wow, that was really, got quite deep there. We're now going to go quite shallow again. So in the very beginning, you mentioned about if you're in a nightclub or if you're just playing music loudly and you're kind of standing by the speaker and you have the vibration, or even if you're, have you ever done like a drum thing? I've done this in South Africa. You're like, you do a drum circle, I think they call it. And then everyone's like, brrr, drumming. Yeah, and it's loud.
Arousing, isn't it? In the positive sense. Well, they're all positive sense.
I just heard embarrassing.
I've got loads of drums. I've got big djembe and all sorts.
Right. So my question is like, what is the difference between, for example, being in a nightclub or in your own home, just blasting music, being in a drum kind of circle, and having a gong bath?
So I think you've labelled three very different things there. So blasting music at home is quite different if it's, for example, heavy metal, or if you're blasting a Tchaikovsky symphony or an opera or maybe some mantras. Whatever it is, it's going to be different based on the intentionality of the musician or the music or the meaning of the music and what it means to you as well. So I mean, I'm a music therapist, so I think music's therapeutic in all forms and many ways. Drumming, I think, is very therapeutic, but in a way that it's more active music therapy, whereas a gong bath is sound therapy. So what you've labelled there is actually a good demonstration of the difference. So I would say drum circle is part of music therapy, because as a music therapist, you're helping to facilitate an experience where, not in every case, but where your clients are able to express themselves through music and their relationship with the instrument and with through sound. And, you know, there's the wonderful quality of actually being able to hit something. It's like hitting a punch bag. How therapeutic is drumming? I drum a lot. I do it as part of what I call a conscious rant, where even if I'm in a good space, it's like doing a half an hour of drumming. It just helps to get any surface level frustration there, so that doesn't then develop into agitation and anger, blah, 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 blah. Or more specifically, if I have had a bad day, you know, drum and get all of that out, because then it doesn't fester in the body.
Your neighbours must love you.
I know, they really do. No one's ever said anything, you know. Well, not where I live now anyway. But yes, drumming is very therapeutic, and having a conscious rant, I use that as my conscious rant. The sound bath, gong bath. So there's a sound therapist, musician, healer called Jonathan Goldman, and he wrote one of the earlier books on sound therapy and working with sound healing. And he speaks about it's not just sound on its own. It's the sound plus the intention that creates the healing. So as the person holding the space for the journey that you're taking people on, there's an intention that you hold as the facilitator to keep people safe in that journey and to facilitate the healing that's best and for their highest good at that point in time, because people can always want more and they just want to fix things right away, as you know. And the problem with that is it can sometimes be too much. It's like going from 0 to 100. There's a reason why divers, when they're going down into the depths, go down at stages so that you decompress. And it's in the same way, it's similar with the healing process. If you rip everything out all at once, it's like there's a massive chasm and you don't know what to do with that. So it's healing for the highest good at that point in time for each individual. And then there's obviously the benefits of being in the physical space with the resonance. So the actual gongs themselves, because I mean, there's many instruments you can use and are very important within a healing, but just taking it back to the gong, the traditional gongs have, I want to say a nipple on the front, because my friend Tim calls them nipple gongs.
We can call it a nipple, why not?
Yeah, so let's call them nipple gongs. Originally, the ones with the nipple on the front, they're traditional gongs. The gongs you see, and you've seen of mine, are called tam-tams, because they are like a flat face gong. Now, in the context of working with sound, the people laying on the ground, their bodies are the sound resonance chambers. Whereas if you, for example, you see a violin or a guitar, there's a resonant chamber within that instrument that helps to create the vibration that then goes out. And the gong, in its flat form, sends the sound out, so it resonates within people's bodies. And that's the experience you don't have. Even if you're listening to a gong bath at home, you can certainly have transmission and experience on a different kind of level through intention, but less so in the visceral form of actually feeling that vibration in your body. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. God, that's really interesting.
And sorry, to go back on something a little bit, there was a study done, I think it was in Australia, and there's a clip on this on YouTube, which showed how gong baths affect your blood, and they showed the blood work. It's fascinating. So if you Google blood work gong baths, it comes up with some amazing images of what happens to blood cells.
I am so going to do that after we finish. That's really interesting. And I wonder what kind of therapeutic properties that has. Did they talk about it at all?
A bit like the different studies that were done with meditation and how it affects people's brain and physiological states. So generally induces a state of calm, even not instantly in the moment. It works on a very deep level. It changes your chemistry. Like anytime we do things like this, like working with meditation, it changes your biochemistry. As we know, the brain is a really powerful organ in the body that is responsible for all these different neurotransmitters. So when we have this chemical cocktail going around based on our level of arousal in the world that we live in, if we take ourselves out of that stimulating world and are more regulating of all of those neurotransmitters, then of course it's going to change the chemistry.
That is really interesting. I have one last question for you. This is something that I've been just wondering for quite a long time, which is, for you as a sound therapist and a gong musician, what you're doing when you're delivering a gong bath obviously has to have some sort of effect on you as well. So when you're playing the gongs and you're receiving the vibrations yourself, do you feel different? Do you feel anything while you're there? Like, what kind of effect is it having on you personally as the gong musician?
So, might sound a bit woo-woo. When I start working in that way, and we tune in collectively as a group, you become a channel, and it's a meditation. And so there's a saying You don't play the gong plays you. So when you develop this relationship with your instruments, it's just, yeah, something happens. And sometimes I get to the end of the session and I don't really know what happened. I'm in a kind of a liminal space of facilitating because I'm very aware of what I'm holding for other people in that space and very aware of, you know, different reactions people are having. And that might temper what kind of sound levels you're working to, for me at least. Anyway, it might not for other players. But at the same time, it's me and it's not me. So I'm present as a vessel and a channel. It's like sometimes, you know, I heard one of my teachers say this the other day. It was a satsang I was attending and it just resonated so much. She said, do you ever think sometimes you're saying something like, wow, where's that coming from? I want to take notes of what I'm saying because that's so cool. And it's a little like that sometimes. It's like because you are the channel, something's coming through you and you're like, oh, wow, okay. It's a little bit like that with the sound. It's like, oh, where's that coming from? Who's coming through me now?
Wow, that's really interesting. Gosh.
A bit off the chart and woo-woo as well, maybe. I don't know. But that's my experience of it.
Okay. All right. No, that's really interesting. So there is something is happening for you as well. Amazing. I think that's a great place to leave it. Charlie, this has been so interesting. We went like way deeper than I was expecting to go. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. Thank you very much indeed for talking to me today and for enlightening us all on how gong baths work, what they do, and the magic of them. When is the next one?
I have one this Sunday at Yoga West in Acton. So I do tend to do lunar-based gong baths, so either with the full moon or the new moon around that, different places. Not always, but yeah. It helps to temper and to work with the moon cycles. And sorry, this is probably going to start a whole nother conversation. I've got planetary gongs, so depending on the planets that are being activated at the time, that we can work with those.
Well, I can't wait to get to another one.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, it's true. I've deprived myself. And also just to say that you and I are doing a event together where I'm going to be offering some deep emotional psychological change, and so are you. So you're offering the gong bath and I'm doing the mindset work, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
All right, Charlie, thank you. This is amazing, magical.
Thank you for asking some good questions.
Well, what can I say? All right, everyone, thank you so much and see you next time.
Bye.
That was Get a Move On with Amy Slevin. If you enjoyed that, we'll be back next week with a slightly different topic. And if you didn't enjoy that, we'll be back next week with a slightly different topic. Thanks for listening.